Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Let's have some fun. Conference Championship Sunday is tomorrow. My good pal Fitzy is here. I'm back after a week off. By the way, Fitzy all over the place. Last week with Bradfo, I took it from listening to the show remotely, Fitzy.
Yes, my friend.
You were agreeing with Rob that you were not rooting for Brady. Now you sent me this long column, which just posted at WEI.com. You're jealous of Bucks fans about Brady. You are like, you're neurotic. You're all over the place with this thing.
Ken, from day one, first of all, welcome back, pal. And hello, everybody. Happy championship weekend, Saturday, tomorrow, whether your team is in it or not. Maybe your favorite player of all time happens to be playing in another uniform, which makes you sick to your stomach. But at the same time, you understand it is what it is, and it was what it was. Ken, from day one, I have told you that I have been a mess about the Tom Brady departing Foxborough and setting up camp in Tampa Bay debacle, imbroglio, disaster, success, whatever you want to call it. It still continues to tear and pull at me limb from limb in places I didn't even realize could be tugged at. It's hard, man. It really is. I said to Bradfo last week, he said he flat out absolutely 100% was not rooting for Tom Brady last weekend. I said I was, but mostly for the content. I wasn't rooting for Tom Brady the same way that I used to because he wasn't wearing a Patriots uniform. And while I wished him well, it just doesn't give me what I like to call, and you would laugh at in the morning show, the Foxborough feels. Well, now it's Champ Sunday, which is also Tom's nickname, considering he's playing in his 14th out of the last 19.
Amazing.
Which is
amazing.
Just unbelievable. And he doesn't even have to do the work all by himself. Hell, Drew Brees practically threw him there with his performance last Sunday.
That's basically what Linda Holiday posted on Instagram. But yes, yeah, correct.
No, you mean that's basically what Bill said to her on the sofa and then what she decided to post to Instagram.
Exactly.
110%. And I just woke up this morning. Last night I was picking up some food and I saw somebody wearing, it was like a brand new, like a fresh, like just purchased TB12 Tampa Bay pewter jersey. And I saw it and it was just like a dagger right between two ribs. It missed all the major arteries, but it hurt. And I just thought, oh man, that's supposed to be me. This is supposed to be Pats fans. We're the ones that are used to watching Brady win in the divisional round and then get all fired up and need to consume every last little bit of content and all the perspective and analysis and insight and predictions heading into Championship Sunday, because you never know when it's going to be the last one. And that ultimately bore to be when, you know, he won on the road in Kansas City a couple of years ago. Now he's doing it for someone else. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm jealous. I really am. I miss it, Ken.
Well,
I miss it
good.
In the worst way.
And I notice a little, you're pissed off.
Yes.
I think you should admit that. So which means you're rooting against somebody here, either Belichick or Brady. You're pissed off at one of the two or both. I don't know.
Both. That's one hill I have stood on the entire time. I have to still side with Bill because he's the coach of the team, and I'm a Pats fan, cradle to grave, box to wire. I'm mad at the way they handled things. Brady never should have left. I'm also mad at the way Tom kind of evolved over time.
Yep.
It went from Tom versus time to Tom flipping his middle finger at people incidentally over time. And, you know, I feel like there's been like, okay, let me give you for example. The other day, he put a tweet out, which was awesome, in support of Richard Seymour, excuse me, making it to the Hall of Fame. And Big Say is putting forward a big cast. I think there's a lot of momentum for.
Did anybody call him Big Say ever when he was here? Where is that?
No, isn't that weird? So that apparently that was the player's nickname for him.
It was?
But apparently, like, you would never watch, like, you know, Sports Final or whatever and hear, like, Steve Burton or Dan Roach be like, Big Say with the play right
Time
there.
Time Lord with the dunk.
Yeah, I mean, like, that name is now, but Big Say is one of those names that I guess was around, but we never called him by that, and apparently that was that. But, yeah, it's like, who called him Tom Terrific? Everyone called him, like, TB12 or the GOAT or, you know, Touchdown Tom, whatever. So he puts out that tweet, and I see that, and I'm like, that's awesome. God, I was so fired up that Brady used his platform to help out a former teammate, albeit one who could use that little push over the edge in a positive manner. But at the end of the tweet, this bugged me. He said, you know, Big Say was instrumental in helping the Patriots, you know, get to all these championships. And I thought, you know what? I hate the fact that he didn't say us because, like, he has divorced it. Like, he's so hyper competitive and he's still so mad about this football divorce that he could. Tom, it's okay. You can say us. It doesn't mean that you're cheating on the Bucs. It doesn't mean that you're a bad teammate to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Scotty Miller and the gang if you say us. But the fact that he had to say the Patriots. You were the Patriots for 20 years, Tom, and we lived and died with you. It's okay to still say it. Then, of course, I went and I checked it out, and yes, he's still following the Patriots on social media.
You did not actually check that.
100%.
That's awesome. All right, well, here's my question to you.
So weird, right?
It is weird. And it's not, if you're a Patriots fan, I know some Pats fans push back on this. It came up on our morning show. Maybe it came up with you and Dale and Keith this week. But if Brady wins again tomorrow, it is bad news for Bill. It is bad news for the Patriots. It's two more weeks of everything being gone back over with a fine-tooth comb on a national level with people asking why he didn't finish his career in New England. I'm not saying it's going to be the only question asked for Super Bowl week and the two-week lead-up, but it'll be there. And my overall question is, Fitzy, do you trust Belichick? The events of the last week, factoring in on this, has there been serious damage done to your faith in Belichick to lead this team going forward? At 617-779-7937. Is Brady's success hurting Bill? Maybe it doesn't mean he failed, but with and it's not only on-field success. That Arians quote to Peter King to start the week, Fitzy,
that he was
allowed to coach there and not here. I don't know if you believe, like the Linda Holiday Instagram, that's Bill speaking through Linda, that this is Brady talking to Arians, but I do. I mean, where else would Arians get that? It's just
100%.
If you're looking for marquee free agents, every little bit like this that comes out makes the Patriots organization feel like a place you don't want to go. Oh, Brady was under wraps there. He couldn't coach. Look how free he is in Tampa. I think Bill is fighting that uphill battle. I wrote a piece this week that I still believe when all is said and done, Belichick's going to win this thing. He's got many more years. He's got a lot of time. I do think if you're a Pats fan, you've got reason to believe, especially he's more motivated now than ever to get it together. But I can't understand why you would root for Brady to win and have two more weeks of this because it's bad for the Patriots.
I don't care about Belichick winning the battle of Belichick versus Brady. I just want Belichick to win football games. That's all I ever wanted Belichick to do with Brady. Belichick and Brady wasn't about being besties or bosom buddies. I didn't need them to have, you know, this is us watch parties together or, like tweet at each other during The Bachelor. I wanted them to just get along well enough to win damn football games because they knew that they were good for each other on the field. But the egos became so inflated that the problems between the two of them were conflated. And yes, now I realize I'm speaking like Don King, but that's that's ultimately what happened. I've had so many people, Ken, that work for the organization that know what's going on down there at one formerly Tom Brady place that say, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was no contract. at all offered for the 2020 season because it became borderline untenable between the two. And they knew they just had to separate. Like they were going to end up grinding and chafing against each other so much that it would be to the detriment of the team. We could feel that tension. It was borderline palpable last year.
Do you believe that there was no contract offered?
I do. I really do.
So what? He walked into Kraft's place and Kraft didn't actually think he was going to talk about a contract or sign one. It was just a formality.
There was something there and they would just work. Brady always came to Mr. Kraft. Like he would come to Papa, you know, hey, Scotty, come to Papa. Like he would just come to Mr. Kraft and they would figure it out. And then they would just tell Bill, like, this is what we got. Like, all right, it's fine. But, you know, they probably had a number. I'm sure RKK and the hooded one had a number between the two of them or a ballpark that they would work with that they were comfortable.
So there was an offer.
No, but that's no between my feeling is that there was something between the two of them that they would be comfortable with. And Brady probably had an idea. You know, I'm sure Don Yee had reached out to somebody at some point, but there was nothing official like, okay, you know, like writing it on a napkin across right across the table. Here you are. Take a look at our best and final and see what you can do, Tommy. And now, Ken, it's hard to argue that this isn't best for Brady personally and his brand. I mean, did you see how happy he was in the postgame interview?
I mean, Sunday? But it's also a season where he refused to shake hands. He had the forgetting of the timeouts. I mean, there have been some rocky moments for Brady. Refused to play in the Northeast.
No
he
doubt.
He has angered some people here. You'll admit that.
Yes.
Not everybody.
He
I wouldn't say it's
has.
A majority, but...
I shared my article, my little impromptu inspiration column this morning. I shared it on all the usual platforms. You know, all of your favorite bookmarked sites like my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, this morning.
Townynews.com.
How's your blog?
Well, but I don't tout it as the first thing on my Twitter site.
It's not the first.
Blog.
Ken, it's because that's where I came from, where a lot of people still know me. It's a path that leads back and creates traffic for WEEI, and because there's some other people that still do freelance, that I do freelance work
fine,
with,
fine,
that I help
whatever.
Support with
I
the did, video.
You,
Shut up.
You took a jab at my blog. Forget it, which I don't have. Go ahead.
And or your lack. Yes, I know. Yeah. Anyway, so I shared it across all the usual platforms,
yes.
Self-deprecating joke aside, and the responses are absolutely as mixed as you would imagine or predict. I'm rooting for 12. No, F it, Fitzy. Tomorrow we got Brady and Gronk. This is my championship Sunday. Or like, I can't watch. Or I'll always love Tom, but my heart is still broken. It's not the same. This is how I felt. You're right. Hey, dude, you need to unfollow Brady. It sounds like you're drunk all the time. Stop it. I mean, it's just unbelievable what a weird emotional spectrum Patriots fans are represented by these days. And I get it. That's why I wrote this thing this morning. And this is how I still feel. You're right. I'm pissed off at both of them. I'm bummed out. And while I'm looking forward to Championship Sunday because it is football Christmas in so many ways, I admit I'm going to be torn tomorrow from like 3:05 to 6:15.
Okay, so before I hit the phones, true or false, Brady's success is making Belichick and the Patriots look bad.
True.
Okay, so there is a reason to root against them from that standpoint, because continued success will make the Patriots look worse. You agree with me?
Yes, and also, true, I don't want Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl because he would either A, go to that ring ceremony, not bring the other six rings, and only wear the one ring.
Ooh,
and,
wow,
and,
you
or,
really thought about this.
And or he would wear the Tampa ring with the other six ones, sullying the aura of those six Patriot championship rings. Either way, I'd want to poke my eyes out.
Okay, and do you trust Belichick? Separate question.
Yes, that's not a true false, but yes, I do.
Less so than when the year began? Like, does Matt Patricia's return yesterday change the narrative one way or the other?
No,
or
he's just someone who's going to do... Patricia is now officially in the humbled post-Josh getting fired after 1 3/4 garbage seasons in Denver phase. He's not without a stopover in L.A. to work under Steve Spagnuolo as an offensive coordinator on a points challenge team. This is Patricia coming back, humbled, hat in hand. He'll crunch some numbers, work some analytics. Basic, you know, what it's going to do.
I don't know.
I think in a
Stevie
lot of
Stevie Belichick, I'm nervous.
No, if I'm Stevie Belichick, I got somebody else who knows the few things that I can learn from. As long as Patricia doesn't have a significant hand. Doug Kite actually had a very good tweet last night. He said, I've never really quite understood why everyone hated Patricia as much as they did around here. Don't point to Super Bowl 52. Bill made the call on Butler, number one. And number two, no one had any business winning a game against any offense with Johnson, Bademosi, and Jordan Richards in the lineup. That's Bill's fault.
Well, I agree with that. Does anybody blame Patricia for the Malcolm Butler thing?
Are you kidding? Super Bowl 52, even I at times I've gotten so hot and bothered under the collar, I've barked at Patricia about it. And
what,
all of my interactions with him...
That it was his decision to bench Butler?
No, first of all, I think they should have had Gilmore on Alshon Jeffrey earlier. Putting Eric Rowe on him was not the right call. But, I mean, here we are, hindsight 2020. But the people definitely, 100%, people absolutely still bark at Patricia about that. 100%. Do you remember, Ken, the next year when Brian Flores, B-Flo, took over as the de facto defensive coordinator of the Patriots? Do you remember Hightower around July... I want to say like July 2018 or so, saying they were really excited about playing defense this season because Brian Flores didn't dumb down the language but simplified things. And he said, and Hightower said they were already processing things quicker and they thought they were going to be a faster, more aggressive defense. And to be honest, the defense in 2018, as good as it's been either since 2014, if not maybe 2007.
Well, that may be, but Hightower, in today's Globe story from Jim McBride, was gushing about
Patricia.
Patricia. I don't know if you read that quote. I'll pull it up for you.
No, I haven't had a chance to read the McBride piece yet.
It was like, it's convincing enough of a quote that I came away thinking, well, maybe it's not as bad as it sounds. Because it feels like retread. It feels like this is going to create an awkward situation on the D. But then you read that, and Hightower's like, this guy was great. He took me to the next level. He made me understand the defense and made it less complicated for me. He's a great guy. Everybody loves playing for him. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but so that's interesting that you would say he was the one quick to praise Flores. Maybe just whatever way the wind's blowing. I don't know, but
that's
anyway.
Good. I wonder, and also I'll just point to this as we lay out so much Patriots content on the table for people to give us a call about.
Typical first segment for you and me.
They're my favorite. It could help. I wonder if it would or would not help convince Hightower to come back if he knows he can work with Patricia and Belichick and get that one final check for it. Because you know Chung's back wants to come back because he's already put it on his Instagram like only a couple more months, and it's a picture of him in a Pats uniform. I wonder if this makes High think like, you know what, I'm going to give it one more go. Because if Hightower comes back and Chung comes back and you get year two for Duggar and Uche and Winovich and you have a good draft and maybe sign a guy for the D-line, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Hi. By the way, Fitzy revealed his email password is BigSay93 earlier in the show, so you can just try that right now.
I'll tell you right Fitzy now, that is not correct. However, the Patriots do factor into some of my passcodes.
Let's go to the Framingham quadrant of the show. Mike in Framingham starts us off. And Larry Fitzy, you're on EEI. How are you, Mike?
How are you doing? I don't know why it's an either or, because when I go back to like Mike Haynes and Russ Francis, I was happy when they won Super Bowls, but it wasn't against them. I didn't have anything, any animosity to the Patriots. And then it's funny because fans are never satisfied. Because then when the Red Sox first won this World Series since 1918, after that we won another one. You're never satisfied. We have six Super Bowls. People are still complaining about the Malcolm Butler.
Well, Mike, it's interesting. To your first point about Russ Francis and Mike Haynes winning Super Bowls somewhere else, some people were saying earlier today to me, like, "Well, hey, you know, Ray Bourque left, and we were super excited to see him win a Stanley Cup somewhere else because we had loved him for so long." I agree. I also think the little mini parade that we had in Boston for him was super awkward and a little bit uncalled for. But this was all, Mike, before the standard was reset by Belichick and Brady and then subsequently the Red Sox by making Boston title town, if not end title town. Brady isn't we're not seeing Brady go try to win a Super Bowl because, damn it, the guy was so championship starved here. It's like, you know, we're watching him go try to win a seventh somewhere else, which it's unprecedented. Therefore, how can you expect or know how you're going to react to it?
I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that, and I agree with you, but the standards being so high that now we expect it all the time. Like back in 2001, when we won that first Super Bowl, I was psyched. But then after that, I wanted more.
It's a hell of a drug, isn't it?
Well, <Yeah.
laughs> but I think, and thanks for the call, Mike, I think that's why, if you're a Pats fan, at least like Wiggy thinks if Brady would have stayed, that they're playing tomorrow. That they have a chance.
He's nuts.
With
He's
Antonio Brown following him, and maybe you bring Gronk back. I don't know. Wiggy's got his whole reasoning. I don't quite buy that, but some people feel like, hey, two more years of Brady, you had another chance to win one more here. So that's why it stings. And as far as other examples, like, did you root for Mookie Betts to win one with the Dodgers last year? I sure as hell didn't.
No, I was rooting more for Clayton Kershaw and Clay Bellinger, who I just love watching play baseball because they have because they're great athletes. I wasn't rooting for Mookie. No, as a matter of fact, I think Mookie wanted out of town.
Yeah, I do
which,
too.
And as much as everyone else said, oh, screw the Red Sox, you traded away the greatest player in history, or at least since George Herman, Babe Ruth. I think he really wanted out of town. Great human, phenomenal baseball player, but I think he wanted out, never was going to end up finishing his career here. So, you know, via Confritos and best of luck, but it doesn't feel the same way at all, no.
Well, I think the bottom line is, in every case, it depends how they left, whether you're going to root for them or not. In this case, Brady changed to me, was a different guy, decided he wanted to go where it was easy, the easy way out, dream team. I'm no longer going to take less. It's like it's a change of behavior. And then he's taking little shots. I'm allowed to coach there. I wouldn't be caught dead in the Northeast. So now it's and by the way, with every one of these things and every win, it's directly impacting how the Patriots look and Belichick. Because, I mean, some people don't like it, whether it's an either or. But unfortunately for Bill, he is intertwined with Brady. You can't I don't know how you can separate the two.
The two are inextricably tied together forever, ad infinitum, for history. I heard Nora Princiati say something really, really, like, she kind of nailed it. It was the first time, like, somebody said something about the Brady-Belichick dynamic that made me smile in a long time. She said, I heard her on a Ringer podcast this week, and she said, it's like, you know, the thing about the Brady-Belichick divorce is that the six Super Bowls are their kids, and Tom isn't allowed to just run away and not be associated with the Patriots anymore because they're always going to have those children forever. And Pats fans feel a little salty that Brady has kind of ignored the kids this year. Like, hey, Tom, what about all the success we had? Now you get your flashy new wife down there in Tampa Bay. Is that what your life is all about now? What about these damn kids we had together? It's pretty funny. But when you think about how he has gone for everything that he wanted, again, he gave himself a very soft landing. Of course, it got better when it became a free agent destination, attracting, you know, with Brady cologne, not just Patriots cologne anymore. Obviously, Brady was a lot of the cologne that got people to come to Foxborough. But and that's overlooking a lot of what Bill Belichick did for the Van Noys and the Akeem Ayers and Akeem Hicks and other players who had impact on the Patriots defense. The way Brady has come down there, brought in Fournette, recruited Gronk, recruited AB, or at least convinced and twisted the arm of Bruce Arians to let Antonio Brown play there. Like, he's done everything to make himself look better. Andy Hart penned a piece last week on EEI about how Tom is basically just doing what's best for Tom now, and that's it.
Yeah, but the Patriots are suffering because of it. Whether you believe he's malicious about it or not, like, for Fourier to say this week on OMF, the Patriots are now Jacksonville when it comes to free agent destinations. Oof. That is a tough reality, if true.
And Christian usually has his finger on the pulse of what a lot of former or current players are saying. And if guys are looking at it now, like, I'm not going there. Like,
right.
That place is, they got a big old rebuild. Like, you're not, that's why I think, you know, in these armchair GM pieces I've been putting together, trying to look at who might come in at quarterback, who could come in at wide receiver. Don't expect, even though you'd love to see that 2007 splash with Moss and Stallworth and Kyle Brady and Wes Welker, don't expect this top-tier free agent splash of talent this offseason. Bill's going to have to go do it the way he's done it before.
He's got to pay money is what he's going to have to do. Big money.
There's going to be one big paycheck. I still think it's going to be on defense, not offense.
Of course,
Yeah, and it's going to be the old-fashioned Belichick way. I would not be surprised if he goes about it business as usual.
Here's the quote from Hightower in the Boston Globe piece, by the way, that I referenced. It's from 2017, but it's in this article, and it says, according to Hightower, Matt Patricia was one of the guys who helped me move along at an accelerated pace. We'll say that as far as him working with me and getting me to understand the defense and what he really wanted me to do, as far as me coming in, I love him. He's a great coach and an even better man. So that's obviously before he left, and take that for what you will. But anyway.
Ringing endorsement.
It's an endorsement. Mm-hmm. Bill in Framingham up next. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys, if the Patriots treated Tom Brady like the Saints treated Drew Brees and just said, hey, look, we're going to give you what you want, we're going to get you the best players, he'd still be here. But they disrespected this guy so much, especially, think of this comment, when Brady had 15 stitches in his throwing hand, and his great coach that's going to stick up for the greatest player ever says, hey, it's not like he had open-heart surgery.
This Yo, you're right about that.
Yeah, and how do you think Giselle took that when he went home and told her that? You know, I just believe that this is all Belichick's fault, and if he was, you know, if he was half the guy, you know, to admit it, that Brady was, he never praised him. I never heard Belichick ever say, hey, you know what, Tom Brady's great, this and that. It was always like, he's part of the system. Well, you know what, he was the system, and it's proven now, and I hope he wins the Super Bowl. I can't stand Belichick. Go Brady. Go Brady.
All right, Bill, thanks. And by the way, he did have a couple quotes praising him. There's that one famous one, no quarterback I'd rather have than Tom Brady.
And he said that time and again, but I will admit that after Brady, and I went back and watched a lot of highlights of AFC Championship Sundays past in putting together that piece for EEI this morning, Ken, like Brady's comeback in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville to get them to Super Bowl 52, which must have just compounded the frustration with him benching Butler and, you know, balling out the way he did and still not being able to win, is so remarkable that his hand was like his thumb was almost hanging off. And then 5 days later, with glue stitches and guts and dreams, the guy gets out there and leads that incredible comeback. And then to only hear like, oh, it's not like it's open heart surgery. Like,
that was tough.
Those daggers, like Bill, I know Bill always seems to have always tried to find particular ways to motivate people. And I guess he long ago decided in this battle. And of course, that was the 2017 season. That's really when the odds began because Brady's Mr. Miyagi was by his side and they were fighting over Guerrero all the time. That was another bone of contention between the two of them. But it seems like Belichick long ago decided the best way to motivate Brady wasn't through praise, not lavish praise or constant love, but rather kind of trying to find ways to light fires under his ass because Brady always wanted to be motivated. And in the end, it got to be too much. And now Brady went somewhere where he had input, where he got a bigger check, where he had weapons, and where he didn't have to wear gloves, mittens, and freaking long johns all the time.
By the way, that should be your autobiography. What was it again? Glue stitches, whatever you rattled off there.
Glue stitches, guts, and dreams.
There you go. That is the Fitzy autobiography. All right, back to the calls on this in a moment. Also, a conspiracy theory for tomorrow regarding Brady against the Pack. That's sure to keep listeners around. But here's what's trending on WBA.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
The New England Patriots are no different than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Players don't want to play for New England now just as much as they don't want to play for Jacksonville.
That is, that could be obvious truth, I guess. But Jacksonville's got Urban Meyer, and they're going to have Trevor Lawrence. I'm not even sure you could make the case as a free agent if the money is not equal. If the money wasn't a factor, where would you rather play? New England, Jacksonville? This is the challenge that Bill's got going forward here. I'm not sure it's all Brady's fault as we return here on Laird and Fitzy, but there is a reputation that Belichick has of not being fun that Brady is continuing to flame with this "I'm allowed to coach down there" sort of thing in a smaller way.
Oh, and so is his pal, Yo Soy Fiesta.
Yeah.
He's only fanning the flames too. Like, why wouldn't I want to come back? I'm having so much fun.
Yep.
He feels like he's been used the right way. When he couldn't catch and he was still kind of rusty, didn't have his tight end legs under him, "I'm a blocking tight end, baby." And then he gets his legs under him and starts making big catches down the seam, and Brady throws him some dimes and Gronk makes some Gronk-like catches. And now he's having a blast. Of course, he said he was playing in the AFC Championship last Sunday, so shows you exactly where Gronk's head is at. Vintage Gronk, if you will. But yeah, it's not making the Pats look any better. You know, Cam Newton came here partly because there weren't any other job offers, Ken. But I think Belichick wanted him to play out the season because Cam was making an effort to make it look like it was fun to come back to Foxborough. And of course, if fun is, you know, finishing two games under 500 and having your coach throw phones at you on the sideline, then step on up. We've got a job for you. We've got a helmet and pads in Foxborough. If I'm a free agent, I can't believe I'm going to say this. If I'm a free agent and the money is equal, I'm going to Jacksonville. A, the weather's better, although Jacksonville is basically just a humid armpit with a bunch of dollar stores. But if you're going to, like, they do have tailgating by boat. You've got a good coach. You've got
We've got tailgating by boat.
What's that?
We've got tailgating by boat somewhere, not outside the stadium, I guess, but fine. Close enough.
I mean, you can pull a boat into the parking lot, I guess. But you can actually, they call it sailgating down there.
Okay.
You can do sailgating. They've got the most free agency money. They've got the most room to spend.
How much do they have? Because the Patriots are supposed to have over 50, possibly 60 million.
Depending on what the cap is, if it's 175 or 80, the Pats will have a little over 60. Jacksonville's got, I think, another 15 to 20 million on top
Jesus.
Of that. Yeah. And they've got a couple of good young receivers. So Urban Meyer can just have a day. They get the best young prospect at quarterback since Peyton Manning. Then they're going to probably, they can easily sign Kenny Golladay and Hunter Henry if they want to. Get a couple of, Lavonte David, just move across the state. Here's $15 million a season to be the to join Miles Jack and Tevin Coleman as linebackers on, not Tevin Coleman, the other guy, Telvin Smith, sorry. And next thing you know, like, Jacksonville's pretty good. Houston's obviously going to suck. They'll be competitive in the AFC South. In the position,
I mean,
by the way,
Cam did them some good. I'll say that.
Yes, he did.
He was a good spokesperson. But then again, he's going to be one and done. And McDaniels didn't exactly work miracles with him. I mean,
he tried.
He couldn't get a job after that performance.
McDaniels
is going to be here like for another 8 years at this point.
Yeah, and with Patricia coming back, and they're both going to look at each other like, how the hell do you get out of this place? What's going on? How come Flores left and succeeded and we couldn't? They'll restore the McDaniels' reputation is fully restored to me, and Patricia's got a lot of work to do to restore his, but Jacksonville could be instantly competitive this year. And Ken, this past week, the job that Belichick has in front of him got even more difficult because when Philip Rivers retired, dadgummit, when he retired this week, that meant there's another team in the draft or free agency market for a quarterback.
Yep. And I don't know if you saw the latest mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com.
No,
he's,
sir.
He's got four quarterbacks going in the top 10. He's got the Falcons drafting a quarterback, I guess is like a, you know, a future replacement for Matt Ryan.
Yep.
And I
maybe
forget
like
what,
a Jordan Love kind of situation out in Green Bay, sure.
Yep. And I think he has Detroit taking one too. I got to double check, but two places I didn't think they'd draft one. So it's going to be tougher maybe than we think for Bill to get one of those top four guys.
Anyway, yeah, ask you who he had.
He had him taking a linebacker from Penn State that I've never heard of.
Oh, Micah Parsons.
Right, which would be totally mocked, right? I mean, it would be...
Mm-mm. No, he's good.
No?
No.
If they take a linebacker at 15, it won't be mocked here?
Ken, I've been saying all along, Tom Curran's agreed with me, most other people that have seen a few drafts and watched Belichick do his thing in the offseason, you 100% know Belichick's going to go defense in this first round. After they got gashed to the tune of like 251 yards by the Dolphins on December 20th, that solidified, that cemented that the Patriots were going to go defense in the first round of the draft. And that's where he's going to spend the majority, or bulk of his free agency money. That's where his reputation has been staked.
If Trey Lance is there or Fields or something and he passes on them to take Penn State linebacker, that
is going
to be
insane. There's no chance. Those Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, and
Justin Fields
will all be long gone by the time the Patriots pick at 15.
Never know. A couple texts quick, and then my conspiracy theory, and then back to the phones. 617 text, Brady is like Leo DiCaprio. He goes from one smoke show to the next. 508 text, rooting for Brady feels like hoping your ex-wife wins the lottery. Some anti-Fourier texts. Fourier said 2 months ago Josh Allen was a fraud. Come on, you can't trust him. 603, Christian's not as tied to guys as you think. He's stating the obvious here. Yeah, I mean, is Fourier tuned in to the point where he thinks, like, nobody wants to, he's not saying nobody wants to come to New England. I think he's just saying, look, they're with the rest of the pack now. It's nothing special anymore.
It's a good point. I think that's a solid point. Tampa obviously has a lot of work to do this offseason. That's why I think this is probably Brady's best chance to win. I know Antonio Brown's not playing tomorrow. Gee whiz, I feel so bad. But you got Gronk there now, probably going to lose Godwin, or you could this offseason. Levante David could easily walk and get paid somewhere else. They don't have as much money as the Patriots and the top tier teams in terms of free agency cash. So tomorrow is probably Brady's best chance, or the best chance he might have in a Tampa uniform to get back to the promised land.
All right, here's the major tease, Laird conspiracy theory. Bill Belichick all week has been on the phone, Zoom meetings with Matt LaFleur, coming up with a scheme to stop Brady. They have been going over every possible Brady weakness and every scheme that he struggled with here because Belichick's got the vested interest in seeing Tom lose on Sunday.
Okay, two things. A
major scouting report. The Belichick scouting report is in Matt LaFleur's hand right now. That is true. That is
so
a fact.
Here's how it works out. So the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers is somebody who used to actually give the Patriots fits. The defensive coordinator or coach who had the most success against Tom Brady was actually Sean McDermott. Brady had his worst numbers against any coach when once Sean McDermott went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Right after that was old Rex Ryan's DC himself, Mike Pettine, who is the former Browns coach and now defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
I would not be surprised at all if one day he was in his office this week and it was like, ring, hello? Hey, how would you like to know how Brady does against it? Is this Bill Belichick? No, not at all. It's Linda Holiday.
Or just Brady's secrets that like you can 100%. Shout out at the line of scrimmage just to get 100%. Him off his game, you know?
100%. Now, how do you think... We're making everything Tom-centric, and I know we've got a lot of time, and we can pick Ben Bolin's brain when he calls in at 2 o'clock, but how do you think Rodgers is going to play tomorrow, Ken?
I mean, I'm scared to death, though. His last three trips to championship games, he's been terrible. Especially, like, actually, the worst performance was the meeting in Week 6. He threw two picks.
They were up 14-0, and the next thing you know, they're up 10-0, and then they just got throttled.
Totally. I mean, he is just, Rodgers just chokes in these games. I know he hasn't had a home game, right, for, I think the last three have been on the road. But still,
actually, this is his first NFC Championship at home.
This is his first one at home? Okay, so there it is. I mean, so that's different. I mean,
he went to Chicago, Seattle, Atlanta, and then last year, San Francisco.
I mean, I would bet on Brady. I really would, just based on that history. That scares the hell out of me.
He's just tough to bet against. This is what he does.
All right, back to the phones. Our buddy Ralphie in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, I have to laugh. The previous caller, he hates Bill Belichick. He had a coach that brought you to 9 Super Bowls, almost half of the Super Bowls since he won his first, and you hate that guy. Well, yeah, whatever. You know, these two guys, Belichick and Brady, are two monstrous A-type personalities, and I give them credit for lasting as long as they did without any major problems, because they're both such, you know, it's my decision. And I understood why they split. I was wrong. A couple of years ago, I picked them to go 8-8 when they won the Super Bowl, and I said, I think this run is over. Now, I think they could have clung to this a little bit longer. You know, I think it wasn't over, because I think they could have added some players. But either way, you know, you guys made a good point when you said about the defense. Of course, unless you love a quarterback, unless Belichick loves this guy, you build a defense up. Because if you look at this team this year, he built that defense again after we lost all those starters. And what a defense does in Belichick's scheme, it keeps you in the game. Special teams, a strong defense. And let's face it, if Cam was the Cam we thought we were getting, he would have won 2, possibly 3 more games, and one could have been against Buffalo, and they might have made the playoffs this year, even with a revamped defense. So that's the way to go. If he doesn't like a quarterback, build us up everywhere, the line. And then when you see this guy, you know, I hate to be like everyone else. I would go with Fitzpatrick just for 1 year. You know, keep him there and see what he does, because Belichick is going to build up the line, you know, and I think that's really the way to go anyway.
All right, Ralph. Thanks, buddy. Ralph agrees with Wiggy. See, if Brady had stayed, it was not over.
Okay, to Ralph and Wiggy's point, if you put them together, you get Ralph Wiggum, who is the dumbest person in the history of The Simpsons. So there's that. And that's saying a lot. But me fail English, that's impossible. But if Brady stayed this year, there's a chance they don't make the playoffs, because you would have had to pay more a quarterback, and they already didn't have that much money. But, okay, so let's say they go 10-6, 11-5.
Does Brown come back?
Maybe not. Probably not, and I don't know if Gronk does either. So, Brady, let's say with this cast of characters and one better tight end or wide receiver, 10-6, maybe 11-5, wild card weekend at best. Maybe Brady wills them to a divisional round game, but I can't see them getting much further than that, considering how loaded the Titans are. Better than their wild card weekend bow out. The Ravens are a tough out. The Chiefs are fantastic. The Bills, I think, are going to the Super Bowl. Miami is
you
better.
You do?
The
wow.
Yes, I do. I do. I think the Bills are winning tomorrow.
But anyway, go ahead.
It just would such a tough hill to climb. Brady's better off in the NFC, where there's not a lot of elite quarterbacks. There's like 2 or 3 elite quarterbacks, whereas they're just a rising sea of young stud quarterbacks in the AFC. Everything about this move makes complete sense. Now, if Brady stuck around and they had one more tough season in 2020, but he played 2 more years, which might have been difficult, because it seems like it's a lot easier to be Plastic Man when it's like 79 and sunny every day, as opposed to, you know, 13 degrees and it's dark out at 3:20 in the afternoon like it is in New England. You know, I don't know. If would he have wanted to stick around, Ken, for one final rebuild?
Well, no. It's obvious. You mean, you're talking about Brady?
Yeah. Like,
no, he wanted out. He was 8-0 last year and he wanted out of here. So, his attitude sucked.
It did. That was probably, we knew all along when I was on the morning show with you guys, and we heard about he's going to get out of Best Buddies. The house is for
sale. The only thing that made him happy on those interviews were when you were going over his top 10 plays of all time. That's the only time he perked up, and they were winning.
I know. It's so weird.
God, that was back when you two were in love. All right, up against the break. More Brady calls. Ben Volen, who is peppering Bucks players with Brady questions all week. He's basically a Bucks reporter. He'll join us at 2 from the Boston Globe. Little Bruins talk with Matt Kalman, 617-779-7937. Do you still trust Belichick, and does Brady's success damage Belichick's rep and his ability to win football games going forward? This is WEI, Laird and Fitzy.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're with you until 4 o'clock. Laird and Fitzy, Ben Volen coming up at the 2 o'clock bell. And right to the phones, Fitzman. So we're up against the clock a little bit. Let's big surprise, if you're just tuning in, we're talking Brady and Belichick. Brady at it again tomorrow. And a new column, by the way. Read Fitzy's column, WEI.com. He is jealous, and there I take that as he's rooting against Brady, although he's not admitting that. You're just conflicted, basically, in a nutshell.
Yes, very, very conflicted. I'm looking forward to Brady playing on another Championship Sunday because he is the ultimate Championship Sunday theater. But at the same time, I can't tell you I want to see him win a Super Bowl with Tampa, because if I did, I'd be lying.
Phil in New Bedford up next. Hi, Phil.
Hey, real quick, guys. The day the foundation fell apart with Bill and Tom, mm-hmm. The day after Deflategate in the morning at about 11:20, the ESPN reporter asked Bill, when was it that you find out that there was a problem? Well, when you guys called me at 6:30 this morning. He didn't throw Brady under the bus. He was walking backwards and just bumped him under the bus. It was never the same since.
I guess so. I always think don't you think Guerrero was the bigger rift, though? That was the start of it?
But they had such a good, strong... They could work through things. I think as far as, like, who brought the best thing to the table, I think after the second Super Bowl was finished and they won it, at that point, where Bill was probably, like, two-thirds of it, after that point, because he started to show Brady what to see in a defense. Brady had good abilities, like Joe Montana, to read a defense, to know how to do the checkdowns. But I think after that point, I think it just became even. One couldn't do without the other. And then, of course, you've got money issues, and then the other side, the defense being hurt or not in there completely. But it was still something that no one would ever see again, that's for sure.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call. Do you agree with that? Deflategate was the beginning of the rift, the crack in the foundation?
There are those who think that it is, but if Brady was at all involved, and with that documentary on the five-year anniversary coming out this week and Bob Kravitz putting together that piece in The Athletic saying mistakes were made and it wasn't all I made it out to be, I still think that Belichick was put in an awfully difficult situation if there was any ball finessing that was going on during that time. So, and it's still, at the end of the day, I think we even talked about this a number of times before on the air, Ken. Brady could have handled that better. He's a very smart guy. He's a very, very smart guy on and off the field. And his bizarrely measured responses.
Like the answer to, is Tom Brady a cheater, that thing?
All he had to do was come out and just say, like, guys. So I may have had my guy bring it down to 12.5, which is where, you know, knowing that, like,
you couldn't say that. Then you're admitting the guy went into the bathroom and deflated it down to 12.5. That sounds terrible.
It's an equipment violation. He would have been able to avoid a year and a half of the NFL dragging all of us through the stupidest lawsuit in the history of time. The NFL wanted to make up for Spygate, and they wanted to make sure that they dominated the headlines and became a 365-day product. Goodell won in the end, whether or not, and in the end, so did Brady, because he came back, had a triumphant return. And then he proved himself the GOAT, winning in the greatest Super Bowl ever.
Speaking of that, Brady winning again, Do you believe, like, it's possible that Rodgers wins tomorrow and Brady never gets back any further than this ever again in his career, right? That's not a stretch to say. That could happen.
Correct.
If he would have ever lost in a championship game with the Patriots, how many did they have that they
went to 13 with the Patriots. He was 9-4. His four losses, one was at home, three were on the road. All three on the road were to Peyton Manning.
Okay, but all four of those were seen as failures, correct?
The 2015 one, like 2006, was seen as a missed opportunity because they had the big lead in the RCA Dome and they would have gone and just wiped the Miami Stadium floor with Rex Grossman. 2013 wasn't because Brady willed them there with Kenbrell Tompkins and Austin Colley.
Right.
2012, that was a weird one against the Ravens. They were losing momentum. They definitely should have won that game. 2015 is the biggest blown opportunity because that's when Belichick had that dumb game against Dan Campbell, the interim coach at the end of the season. Like, we're going to run the ball, damn it. And they lost, like, with Steven Jackson, and it forced them to miss home field advantage. Yeah, and they went, yeah. That one.
Belichick took a lot of criticism that year. I remember that.
He should have. He really should have.
He kind of did, though.
How about against the Philadelphia game when they were 10-1? And they're up 14-0 and just cleaning the Eagles' clocks, and they pooch-kicked with Ebner on the kickoff.
Well, my point is, if he loses tomorrow, typically in Brady's world, so you're saying three out of those four were failures. Is it a failure if he loses tomorrow? Like, it's hard to say that because he's an underdog, and it's the first year, and he's on the road. But it's still, like, by Brady's standards, it feels like a failure.
If we're being honest,
it's a win over Belichick. I'm not going to argue that. Mm. But I don't know.
I don't think it is. I really don't.
Okay. Steve in Worcester, and then we'll get Ben Volen on. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Big Steve.
Hi. Yeah, well, you know, we're talking about who's shining today, who's the star today. Both these guys are definitely going to go down in the football history books, Belichick and Brady. But you have to remember this. You know, as great as both these guys are, it's up to the players on the field, the well-coached players on the field, to execute the plays. You know, how many times did we look at the clock and say, wow, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes left. We're still in this game. We can do this. We can pull this out. Did you think about Belichick or did you think about Brady? Who are you looking at? Who are you hoping for? Well, you know, I think my answer was Brady. Brady can do this. You know,
But Steve,
don't get me wrong. Belichick is a genius. But who could execute? You have to execute those plays on the field to make it happen. But Brady did.
But Steve, the counterargument is Rodgers, who's playing tomorrow, hasn't been in a Super Bowl since 2010. Doesn't Mike McCarthy's terrible coaching make you think about how valuable Belichick is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Belichick is a treasure. He's a genius. But let's put, I played football. You guys studied football. It's up to the guys on the field to execute. Not everybody can execute like Brady. 3 minutes, 2 minutes left of the game. Who are you hoping? You saying, oh, I hope Belichick is going to do this right, or hope Brady can complete the passes, complete the handoffs, complete the fakes. You know, I mean, I'll take the rest of this call off the line, mm-hmm. off the phones, but I think it's Brady.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Ken, everyone's got it. Neighbors and blank holes. Everyone's got one on Brady.
Well, I agree. The quarterback position is the most valuable position in sports. Everybody knows that it's more important than a coach. But that's not to say, look at the bad coaching in the NFL, the Marvin Lewis's and the God, Mike Tomlin. How many more Super Bowl appearances should Roethlisberger have?
How about the Hugh Jacksons and all these other ones and coaches that are getting shot? But there may be no coach in recent memory who got less out of more than Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy is the shining example of blowing it, ineptitude. It is amazing. All right, Ben Volen, not inept, although many people feel that way. But I'll stand by him. I know you will. Our good friend, Boston Globe's Ben Volen. Next, his thoughts on this. One thing I want to get to the bottom of with Ben. This has been gone over a million times. Nobody still knows what the Patriots offered Brady in a contract. Would you agree with that? That's still, like, unknown? There's a Field Yates report that's still hanging out there from something Gasper wrote that they offered him 2 years and $25 million per. So, I don't know. Maybe,
I, don't know what
maybe,
to, I really don't know what to believe, Ken. I really don't.
And you were saying earlier you don't even think they offered him a contract. It was just a total like blank paper.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, Volin clears some of this up and get his thoughts on the championship games tomorrow on Laird and Fitzy.